remember Luke sat behind me in a car seat. And Sarah was in the back with him. And it was just me in the front. And they started singing to me. I don't remember exactly the song, but they were just singing. And they said, "This is for you, Daddy." And they started singing to me just uninhibited. In the back of the car, and they were just singing. And I started crying because I was so pleased they were singing to me. I can't help but think that that's what God thinks. When we just uninhibitedly sing to our Heavenly Father and just let her rip, tater chip. And let her rip, tater chip. You ain't from around here, are you? But I tell you, somebody trying to mess. Oh, I put that down there, didn't I? I thought somebody trying to mess with me. We was fixing to get the no-note version. But anyway, sang like the kids in the back of the car, and nobody's watching. And I think our Heavenly Father will be pleased. Well, this is the last one, I believe, of this series of seeking God for a breakthrough. And it may be the most important. I want you to remember it anyway. And we started last week on this last lesson of why must I keep on praying persistently. And why does it, because a lot of people used to say that you only have to pray one time. And there's nothing wrong with that, I guess, except it's biblically wrong. That the Bible tells us to pray persistently. And we said, for the first thing, if we keep praying for something, that it keeps my attention focused on God. If you'll notice, when we pray persistently and keep on praying and asking God, as we have our attention on Him, I told you that our prayer even changes sometimes. It goes from our original request to, it might even change a little bit as we discover some things about ourselves and our focus becomes on Him. Then we said, having to wait teaches me about myself. Whoo, ain't that the truth? When we gotta wait, it teaches us a lot about ourselves. And the first thing we said that God tests us through this waiting period. Because remember, from Daniel, there's always a testing before the blessing. And the blessing comes after the testing. And so we said it tests our desires while we're waiting, and we've asked God for this breakthrough. Remember, I want you also remember, a breakthrough prayer is different from a normal prayer. And so it tests our desires. What's motivating us behind this prayer? And today we're going to look at some more tests during this waiting period of praying persistently. Go ahead and write in your outline, praying also tests my priorities. We find out what our priorities are when we pray persistently. When I have to pray for something more than once, and don't get me wrong, when I'm talking about praying for something more than once, it's not like we're trying to convince God of something. He already knows what we want and what we need, and He's ready to give it. Daniel chapter 10 says when we pray that He heard us the first time, and He dispatches that prayer. But some things hinder it sometimes, and we're going to get into that. But He dispatches the answer to that prayer. But if we just keep praying and it tests our priorities, He finds out what's really important to us during this time when we pray persistently. So the question we kind of got to look at or are going to answer when we pray persistently is, what's most important in my life? Because when you pray persistently, it tends to clarify that, to clear things up, what's important in your life. Because if you don't pray about it, it's obviously not important. But if you pray about it, it obviously is important. And if it's not worth praying about repeatedly, then it's not important. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know, do you want to know how to know what's important to you? Everybody say, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, here it is. Whatever you worry about. That's what's important to you. Whatever you worry about. Worry tells you what's important in your life. Now, if you don't worry about it, you've either given it to God, and or if you're worrying about it, you're acting like an atheist. Remember, when you worry about it, because worrying about it's just acting like you ain't got no heavenly Father that's promised numerous times in the Bible that He's going to meet our needs, that He's going to answer all our prayers, that He knows and He's going to take care of it. It's just trusting. Amen? Did y'all hear about the two guys? They were shipwrecked. And they landed on this island. And the two guys washed up on the beach, and there wasn't nothing on the beach. Wasn't no animals, wasn't nothing. Wasn't nothing to eat. Wasn't no buildings. It was just them two men. One guy said, "What are we going to do? We're going to die. Nobody's going to save us. Nobody's coming by. We're going to die out here." The guy said, "I'm going to take a nap." A nap? So he took a nap. The other guy's just pacing back and forth, pacing back and forth. And he finally wakes him up. He says, "Man, you got to get up. What are we going to do? It's going to get cold tonight. We ain't got no shelter. We ain't got no food. We ain't got nothing. We are going to die." He's wringing his hands. "Are we going to die?" He said, "I'm going to go for a swim." A swim. Dude goes out there and goes for a swim. He comes back. He said, "Are you finished? Are you finished? We got to do something. We got to do something. We're doomed. Nobody's been by this. We're going to die out here." He said, "I sure am. I'm tired from that swim. I'm going to take me another nap." Another nap? He said, "What is wrong with you? How can you be so relaxed? And we're dying out here. We ain't got nothing to eat." He said, "You don't understand. I'm a millionaire. It don't matter. You can't spend your money out here." He said, "No, sir. I'm a millionaire. I give $250,000 to the church every year." He said, "So?" He said, "My pastor will find me." Amen. Dude wasn't worried at all. He was able to sleep and swim. I tell you that joke to say about worry. Worry is an ineffective way to control. You can't control yesterday. You can't control tomorrow. I'm going to tell you something about worry. Worry just messes up today. That's all worry does. It is good for nothing. But if you prayed about everything that you worried about, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. Just pray. Worry don't change nothing. Prayer does. So change the worry into prayer. Look what Jesus says about it in Matthew 6. "Why be like unbelievers who worry about everything?" Why you won't be like an unbeliever? When you worry, you're more like an unbeliever than anything. "Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need if your first, if your first concern is to live for His kingdom." Amen. That's what's going to happen. He will give you everything you need if your first concern is to live for His kingdom. First concern, that's another word for priority. And praying persistently tests our priorities. What this verse says, when your priorities are right, God's answer is yes. But when your priorities are not, then God has multiple answers that He gives you. And we'll talk about them toward the end. But I just want you to kind of pigeonhole Hold that right there. But if your first concern is God's kingdom, it's yes. Some of you guys tell me all the time, well, I'm just waiting on God. Really? Because according to what I just read, he might be waiting on you. For you to figure out what's really important to you. Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. God says when you're focused on me and you do what is right, your attention is on him and your kingdom is the number one priority. He said, guess what? Anything you ask for. When your priorities are right. He says, no good thing will I withhold from the man that's totally committed to me. No good thing will I withhold from the woman that's totally committed to me. Who are you committed to? So you got to answer the question, what's the order in my life? Is your job number one? Is TV number one? Is social media number one? Is your wife or husband number one? Or kids, are they number one? God said, it's my kingdom that should be number one. All those are pretty good things, especially your spouse and your kids. But God says, it's my kingdom priority in your life. So you got to answer that question, and you're going to answer that question. That question is going to come to you when you pray persistently, because you're going to get tested. The next thing it's going to test is, it tests my maturity. This is a big one. My maturity is always in question. This is a big one. But we're not talking about acting like a kid. When God doesn't give you something immediately, I'm going to tell you what he's doing. He's testing your maturity. He is testing your maturity. He's testing your character. He's testing your responsibility. He's trying to figure out whether you're grown up or not. And during this time, he wants to show you the areas in your life that need to grow. And persistent prayer actually shows maturity. It really does. You know, I'm a firm believer in every count in most people, most problems people have in their marriages and relationships. And this is probably not why I'm not a good counselor. There's two words that can help you. Grow up. Just grow up. Just act like adults. Not all adults. Act like spiritually mature adults and grow up. Just grow up. And God wants us to grow up. And he wants us to mature. And he wants to show us those areas. And toddlers and immature adults, they don't know how to wait, do it. Immature adults want it now, even though we can't afford it. Even if we ain't got the money, we're just going to get a credit card. And we'll spend money that we don't have to impress people that we don't like. And we're in debt. I am a firm believer. Studies have shown that the top three leading causes of most of the problems in your life, in my life, is the inability to delay gratification. It really is. We can't wait. We don't know how to wait. And so praying persistently tests my maturity. Toddlers don't know the difference between no and not yet. Do you? Do you know the difference between no and not yet? When God doesn't answer your prayer instantly, do you just grab your blanket and credit card and go get in the corner and whine? And pout. That was a word in Rottmark we used a lot. Pout. Whiny box. And we're still doing it. But don't you think your Heavenly Father knows what you need more than you do? And he wants to answer it. And he knows when you need it. I'm going to tell you something. While you've been whining, God's been working. And while you and me been waiting, God is working. What I'm talking about is patience here. And patience is a mark of maturity. And when it comes to prayer, and if God doesn't give it to you immediately or instantly, don't give up. Don't quit praying. Maturity just means you know the difference between a delay and a denial. A delay is not a denial. Now, a baby doesn't understand it. A baby doesn't understand the difference between no and not yet. But when you grow up, you should know the difference. You should understand the difference. You know, God hasn't said no to your request. It will come in His timing. God wants to meet all of your needs, but He's far more interested in your character development than your comfort. Wait, your character is the only thing that you're taking to heaven with you. He's way more interested in you developing patience, because patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is part of the whole body of Jesus Christ. You see, that's our goal, is to become more and more like Christ. And to become more and more like Christ, we've got to become patient. And we learn patience by waiting. We also learn it by praying persistently, even when we don't see any results. People tell me all the time, Jim, I've been praying. Well, keep praying. Keep praying, because God is testing your maturity. He's testing your heart. He's testing your character. You remember the first time you ever let, well, especially a few parents in here, you remember the first time you let your child fall asleep crying? You know what I'm talking about? And how it was hard, wasn't it? Oh, gosh. So I know a lot of you parents just going to say, I'm the worst parent of all. I don't care what you say. But Sarah had a passy. I know some of you guys just against passies, and that's okay. It don't matter to me. But she had a passy. Well, we decided it was time she came off that passy. Woo! And Angie, and she knew how I was. She said, Jim, don't you go in there. She's going to cry. Don't you go in there. Angie was the tough one. I was the sap. I went there and laid her down. I said, no more passing. Last night was your last night. I said, that's the way it's going to be. I said, no, I'm taking it. I closed the door. I stood at the door and I cried. Because she was crying, I was crying. Angie said, don't you go in there. She cried for 25 minutes. 25 minutes. I cried for 26. Next night, she cried for 15 minutes. I cried for 16. Next night, she cried for 5 minutes. I cried for 6. Next night, she didn't cry at all. But it was hard. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you, y'all parents? It was hard the first time you let your kid cry to sleep. But you know what? It was worth it. You know why? Because it developed her character. Because she just turned 24, and if we hadn't have took it away from her when she was 2. She'd still have that thing. What's up? You know what? but it's hard. Character development is hard. And God says, sometimes I'm going to have to take your pacifier away from you. And that's what it goes. I mean, if you think you're going to go through life and somebody going to wipe your nose every time you get disappointed, you're going to have a terrible life. You're going to have to learn to wipe your own nose. Amen? It's just the way it is, because nobody owes you nothing. You're not the center of attention anymore. It ain't about you. Amen? It ain't about you. You remember when you first time you left your child home alone? Y'all remember that? Ooh, Sherry was 22. Now, y'all remember that. She was a lot younger than that. But y'all remember that, don't you? You know, Luke was just a kid. We didn't leave him there. There wasn't no way he was staying there. We still ain't left him alone. But I'm not going to tell you how old she was, because some of you just think real bad. But we decided we were going to leave her home alone. We just went to, you know, not far and back. At first, man, I just felt terrible. Here she was, somebody come in and get her, you know, and she's going to do this while we're gone, and she's going to get hurt. And I just felt like a bad parent. Y'all know what I'm talking about, leaving her home alone. But she wanted to be alone. She wanted us to leave her alone. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? The first time you make that decision, that you think that they're responsible enough, and that they're mature enough that you can leave them alone. And they're not going to cut up. They're not going to tear the house up. Not going to watch porno or nothing like that. They're going to be okay. And I shouldn't have said that. But it was a concern of mine with one of my children, you know, because of what's on TV. Actually, both of them. You know, TV's wide open there. And so I'm just being honest. But so that little instant, was that important to their development and to their maturity? It sure was. It sure was. Because Sarah got married last year. I couldn't live there. I couldn't live there. And her husband worked at different times. She found herself alone. And I thought back at the time when she was, you know, younger. It was important that we let her develop that and mature, that she would be okay being alone. So when God thinks that you're mature enough, he's going to let you go through periods in life where you're alone, and where you're by yourself, and you might just feel alone. I found myself in the past year or two, sometimes I just feel alone, and I don't even feel his presence. Y'all ever been there? You don't even feel his presence. But the question I've had to come to is, am I going to depend on my feelings, or am I going to depend on God? You know, am I going to depend on this feeling alone that he's left me? Or will I depend on who I know God is? It's just part of our development. What I come to is God doesn't want us to depend on our moods. He wants us to depend on our commitment and our trust in his word, not our feelings. Feelings lie. Feelings are just feelings. So he leaves us alone sometimes to help develop that. And during that, he's testing a couple of things, just like we tested Sarah and Luke. Will we do the right thing when there's no supervision? You know what I'm talking about? There's a testing. And that's all part of it. Will they do the right thing when I'm not there to tell them to do the right thing? That's one of the things that God's doing is when he leaves us alone. Then the other thing is, will they keep praying? Will they keep focusing on me when the answer's not immediate? When the answer's not instant? Look at 2 Chronicles 32. God left Hezekiah on his own for a while to see what he would do. God wanted to what? Test his heart. Sometimes we're alone so that he can test our heart. Because this is the difference. This is what I want you to know. Before God answers your prayer for a breakthrough, remember, they're different. Before he answers your prayer for a breakthrough, he's going to test your heart. You may not have your breakthrough right now. It may be because your heart ain't right. Ain't no other way to put that. He's going to test your heart before you get that breakthrough. He's going to test your heart. I mean, the question is, are you ready to handle the blessing of this breakthrough? Remember, every blessing, with every blessing, there's a testing. He did this for an entire nation one time, Israel. He tested them a lot. Remember, he said, I'm going to give you all this promised land. All you got to do is walk 2 or 3 months, cross this desert, and I'm going to give it to you. It took them 40 years. He kept testing them, and they wouldn't do right. Their hearts wasn't right. And but I want to tell you, when God tests you and me, he wants us to succeed. So sometimes he lets us retake the test. They had to retake it a bunch of times. Another lap around the desert, boys. And so he lets us retake it until we pass it. You may be going through a lot of tests of the heart right now. Keep praying. You'll pass it. Keep examining yourself. You'll pass it. Deuteronomy 8:2. The Lord led them through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling and teaching you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would really obey his commands. I'm going to tell you something. When things aren't right, and when we're in a lot of pain, and we cry out to God, don't we? But most of the time, we just want him to remove the symptoms. And God the whole time is wanting to remove the cause. And that just takes a little more time to remove the cause. And he don't just want to just clear up the relationships. He wants to deepen our character. Ooh, and we don't want to do that sometimes. He wants to change us. And we're so comfortable, we don't want to be changed. We want God to change the circumstances, but we don't want God to change us. Amen? Ooh, and that's a hard part. We want God to change the symptoms and not the character. And we want a quick answer, and God wants to just cut out the cancer. In our finances, in our marriage, in our relationships. Talk about finances. I talk to people a lot about their finances. You know, the problem is not God getting you out of debt. That's what most of you want to do. I just want God to get me out of debt. Well, here's what I tell you. If God gets you out of debt without working on the cause of the debt, then a year from now, you're going to be in debt again. We got to work on the cause. If you got problems in your relationships now, and you're asking God to get you out of this relationship or get you into a good one, you're in a bad one, let me tell you something. We got to work on the cause. Or you're just going to keep jumping from bad relationship to bad relationship to bad relationship. The problem might lie in your heart. Nobody wants to hear that it's part of their problem. I told one lady, I said, you realize you're the common denominator, amen? You're in every one of these relationships. You. But we just want to feel at ease. We want God to make us feel at ease. And God says, I want to take a little time. I want to get to the disease. And a lot of times it's us. It was for me. Maybe I'm just the only one. It was for me. But we want to quick. And when I'm, so here's what I want to caution you. This is why, to me, this week is the most important. It's when you're praying to God for a breakthrough, are you willing to let God change you instead of the circumstances? Are you willing? You got to be willing to let God change you. This is the point of surrender, where you can give him you and not just part of you. This, I want to tell you something, this has to happen before the breakthrough happens. You have to grow up. You have to grow before the breakthrough happens. Romans 6:13. Just put that in your head or write it down somewhere. I didn't put it on the outline. It says this. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Complete surrender. A lot of folks want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to change. Everybody wants to live forever with him, but nobody wants to be different, especially with the parts that need changing. But I got news for you. God ain't going to give you everything you want and leave you self-centered. That ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. God wants to change you and then bless you with what you desire. He's testing your desires. He's testing your priorities. He's testing your maturity. You know what else he's testing? Maybe the most important of all, your faith. Your faith. This is the most precious of all. Do I trust my feelings or do I trust my Father? I'm telling you guys, the word says the answer's on its way. It's been dispatched. I love that word out of the book of Daniel. It's been dispatched. Ever since I heard it, when I wake up and I pray every day, I say, been dispatched, ain't it, Lord? I love that word. You ever just get a word, just hang on to it? Dispatched. I love it. Dispatched. Now, sometimes it don't feel like it, but it's a mistake to trust your feelings. It's a mistake to trust your feelings. Because remember, we learned a couple of weeks ago that God will never do nothing that'll hurt you. He will always do something that will help you. Only what is good. So trust your Father. God knows what you need. He knows what will make you happy. Let me read my wife's favorite verse to you, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you future and a hope. Every time I think something bad is fixing to happen to me, that's the verse I use. That ain't for me. That didn't come from God. It might have hurt me. It might be bad, but it ain't from God. And we're going to go past this because God's got good things ahead for me. He gave me a future. Give me a hope. He does for you too. Don't let them bad things. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your feelings. Trust the Father. And with plans, like always, plans, you got to wait on God's timing. Not all plans happen overnight, do they? Not all. No, they don't. In fact, I read something this week. I love this, and I find a way to fit it in. It says, the bigger God wants to do something in your life, the longer the runway. The bigger it is, the longer it takes to get off the ground. You see what I'm saying? Isn't that good? I wish I could say I made that up, but I didn't. I don't remember who did, but it was good. But it's all about his timing. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not get tired of doing what is right, for at the right time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. Your faith is more desirable. It's more important. It's more precious than anything that God could possibly give you. That's your faith. That's your faith. Now, knowing all this, that we've talked about persistent prayer and everything that we've gotten going through, and God is changing you. He is changing. I want to end with how God answered prayers. And there's four ways, because that was something I talked about in the beginning. If you don't get this immediate, yes. Because he doesn't always answer the way you like, but he answers every one of them. Every one of them be dispatched. Every one. Number one, when my request is not right, God says no. When it ain't right, when it doesn't have the right motivation, when it doesn't have the right desire, God says no. Because he's only going to do what's good for me. Number two, when I'm not right, God says grow. Sometimes I ask for stuff I shouldn't be asking for. Sometimes I ask for stuff like an immature little spoiled brat. And that's just me. Maybe you ain't never like that. I don't know how many times I've asked to win the lottery, and I'm thinking somebody's going to bring me a ticket, I guess. I don't know. You know, when I look back on this thing, I say, God, I hope you can forgive me for all the silly stuff I asked for as I've grown. But sometimes he just says, grow. And sometimes he just says, you ain't ready for it yet. You ain't ready to stay at home by yourself yet. You're not responsible enough. You know. Then the third thing is, when the timing is not right, God says, slow. Jim, it's coming. It's just not here yet. It wasn't a denial. It's just been delayed. It's been dispatched. It's just delayed. Then number four, But when my request and the timing and my character are all lined up right, God says, go. When everything's right, when my desires are right, when my priorities are right, when I'm kingdom-minded, amen, not gym-minded, when I'm loving people instead of loving money, when I love God instead of love self, when I'm kingdom-minded, God says, go with it. Now, those are the reasons we do what we do in Ephesians. Last verse. Pray at all times. On every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit, always stay alert and be what? Persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. So, guys, are you ready for a breakthrough? Are you really ready? Got to go through some tests. Now, we're going to share this sometime this summer. We're going to share our breakthroughs. I want you to continue persistently pray for your breakthrough. And I can't wait to share. We're going to gather one night and have a solemn assembly. And we're going to talk about our breakthroughs. Are you ready? Remember this lesson. Take it with you. Please take it with you. It's important. It's important. We're going to be tested during these prayers. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are good, that you got good plans for me, and that help me remember that when the times is rough and when I feel alone, when I feel like you put me out there and I'm having to do everything by myself, and that things are failing, that people are talking about me. Help me remember that you have plans to prosper me for my good, and you will not hurt me. That you're a good God, and that you love me unconditionally. And sometimes you got to hear me cry so I don't suck a pacifier the rest of my life. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.